Welcome to Brands and Campaigns, the stories and people behind clever marketing moves, powered by EKR. I'm your host, Camden Bernatz, Creative Director and Head of Brand Strategy at EKR.
All right, so this is a break from our normal programming, so to speak, a special Super Bowl commercial episode of Brands and Campaigns. Again, of course, we usually have someone on to talk about a specific piece of creative work or branding, and then we talk about it in the next episode as well. But this is obviously a special time of year for those in the ad industry. You either love it or you hate it if it's something that it causes you stress or causes you entertainment. But the biggest day for advertising, perhaps the whole year, is often the Super Bowl. And so happened yesterday. Here's some quick reaction to those ads, what we saw from there. And this one, I don't have a guest with me today. You just get me. So you can disagree with me. Of course, there'll be different opinions. There's some subjectivity to this. But I'm going to talk about the ads that stood out to me the most as being either really good or really bad, and why I feel like they were. And approaching kind of the criteria, right? What makes a good Super Bowl ad and a bad Super Bowl ad? Of course, there, like I said before, is some subjectivity. But I think some of the criteria I have in mind, the recipe of a good ad, so to speak, has to take into consideration a few different things. One is that, why are you running a Super Bowl ad? The main reason that they are the biggest, most expensive ads of the year usually is because there's just so many eyes on them. So you want to put your best foot forward, and you want to understand that for most brands, and again, I'm saying most, there are probably exceptions to this, for most brands, the Super Bowl ad is a very much just an awareness play. Like, you're probably not going to sell a bunch of your product in that moment that the ad's running. Like, people, oh yeah, I should go and jump on the internet or go to the store and buy this thing or sign up for this service or whatever. Your goal is to be memorable so that later on, when they're trying to buy this a certain product or sign up for a certain service or whatever, they remember you, they think of you in a certain light, and you come to mind. So if you're trying to measure direct sales, like as a result of a Super Bowl ad, again, there probably are some situations that does get affected, but that's probably, for a lot of people, not the main objective or the KPI they're tracking. It's about awareness. And then, of course, the share of voice, the things that are talked about the ads afterward, the reshares, the parodies, the celebrities that jump in on something. Anyway, so I'm trying to keep in mind, like, what was the objective? What was the strategic brief that went into each of these, and basing it on that? And then, as well as that, the criteria of course, pure entertainment value is when you're thinking about awareness, pure entertainment value or memorability is important, but there does need to be some connection to what the brand offers as a product or a service. And so if that's lost, but it's very much entertaining, that it's probably not as effective as, well, it's definitely not as effective as an ad that's entertaining and ties into the brand's offering and helps you remember what they actually are trying to sell. So anyways, I'll stop babbling about my criteria here and get into the meat of this. But lots of ads, and I'm not going to probably address every single ad. That would be too long of an episode. Not all of them are necessarily noteworthy. And I'm talking about the ads that happened between, like, beginning of the game, end of the game. If there were things that happened a couple hours before or after that tried to take up a less expensive spot, I'm not going to talk about those. I'm talking about the meat of it, those that happened during the game. So let's talk about the ones that I think did really well first. And I've got kind of a top three or four, I think, here. And I'm working on just a scratch paper of notes here, so I might hop around a little bit. But Kia and their EV, their electric vehicle ad, that I think it did really well for a few reasons. To recap what the ad was, is there's this narrative type of ad, motion grabbing, where there's this young girl who's performing in this ice skating competition of some sort. I assume it's her father in the audience, is very proud of her, and she's looks over at him, but there's an empty seat next to him, and they're both kind of sad that somebody who was supposed to be there is not there. And so they get into their Kia electric vehicle, and they head up to this kind of remote cabin in the woods where grandpa, who's wheelchair bound and was unable to attend the show, is there in his house. And there's a frozen pond out front. She goes and they set up
and they highlight the features. This is why I think it was really good as well, besides just the emotion grabbing aspect of it, is that they highlighted the features that you can like plug in things to the back and how it can go off road and like all these, the features of what the car actually did helped accomplish this thing where they were able to go up into this mountainous area, set up speakers and basically put on the, she can put on her little show that her grandpa missed down at the venue. And, you know, he writes like a 10 on the window, gives her a little score. It's just a very touching moment that is about a family sized vehicle and a family type of ad. Anyway, so obviously I'm not going to explain what the works as well as the ad itself does its message. So go check that out. But I think Kia did really well. I'd give it maybe a 9 out of 10. Like I've had just ads in the past that past Super Bowls that I think were better. But from this round, I think it was one of the top ones as of being memorable, having an emotional feel, highlighting features and benefits. And I've also heard a few people talk about it since, so more than some other ones. So I feel safe in recommending or in giving a high score to that one, I guess. It's not just me, I don't think. Let's see, who else had a really good one? Oh, Paramount. And they were one that had released a version of the ad kind of before, so it wasn't the first time people had necessarily seen it. It was during the game. But Paramount, who also had access, I actually watched the game through Paramount Plus, so they had a lot of good brand equity in being attached to the Super Bowl. But they had they continued that idea they've done in years past about all these different characters from different shows you can find on Paramount meeting at top of the Paramount Mountain, this kind of frozen tundra mountaintop. And they had, you know, humor ensues and chaos ensues. And so it was the one where they tried to, like, they were trying to get up over the edge of the mountain. So they threw Hey Arnold because he's got a football head and it didn't work. And then my 5-year-old son doesn't recognize any of those characters that were being shown except Peppa Pig. He knows Peppa Pig. And when it cuts to the end, it said, "We just need someone who's made of pigskin." And it cuts to Peppa Pig and he goes, "Oh dear." My kid got a kick out of that, and it was funny. So that was, again, it was a little bit more of the randomness factor that sometimes people try to tap into, but I think it was done well with humor situations, the Creed music that was playing. It was just very silly, but also showing all these different shows, all these different programs that were not of one genre. There were sports, there was sci-fi, there was reality television, there was cartoons. They were all available at, they're all at Paramount Mountain, basically Paramount Plus. So anyways, I thought that was another good one as well. And a good way to continue a concept that they've done in the past without it being too stale or boring or repetitive. So the Paramount Mountain, I don't know what they name it, but like the things that take place on top of the mountain, that was a good ad as well. I feel weird not having a guest now because no one's responding to me, telling me they agree or that I'm crazy. But yeah, I guess you can let us know in the comments or the social media feed. Okay, what else? Let's see here. There's a couple more that I thought were up there, 8, 9s out of 10s. Oh, the NFL itself had a really good ad, and probably one of the more talked about ones, I think, as well, is talking about how it was kind of combined the NFL network with like the YouTube TV about the season changing, the one season ending, another season coming back. Basically, it's the flying football players as well. All of these different teams that have a bird as a mascot, you know, the Seahawks and the Eagles and the Falcons and whatnot. And they had these players that were flapping their wings and flying around and acting like birds. And anyways, it makes it not funny if I try to overexplain it. You've seen it. You know what I'm talking about. But that one was just really funny. Just a really funny visual about these football players flying like in a flock and forming a V formation and perching in trees. And it was very unique. It was humorous. It was memorable. And so obviously the NFL itself didn't need that much of an awareness play with people who are clearly watching the NFL when they saw it, but it's just a way to endear yourself to people, have some memorability to it. And it was just entertaining. It was really fun. More entertaining than the halftime show. Sorry, Usher. No offense, but yeah. Overall, as I was writing some notes on these and thinking about them, there are some that I think are good, and I obviously been talking about them. But I still was kind of overall disappointed a little bit this year, because I just felt like it was kind of weak across the board. Like I think about some, you know, commercials from Super Bowls past that even if you don't like them, even if you didn't like the brand or you they were controversial, they still were like memorable. They had some weight to them. I think about like the It's Halftime America or the God Made a Farmer or, you know, the very first time the E-Trade monkey showed up, and it's been some really good ones. The Pringles or the Doritos one when they go to the ultrasound and the baby flies out of the mom because of the Dorito. Anyways, you know what I'm talking about. There's some that were just better, I feel like. And a lot of these ones, the ones I thought were still top of the list, like the Kia one and the ones I've mentioned, the football one, they were just the best from this round, but I wouldn't put them probably in the top 5 or 10 all-time Super Bowl ads. And it's all right. Not everyone's going to be a crazy winner. You know, like they're not all going to be continuously better into infinity. But anyways, So all this is to say that if you have the opportunity yourself to put out a Super Bowl ad, to work on a Super Bowl ad, I think there's definitely room and an appetite for improved ads, improved content, which I know is obviously a little subjective still, but yeah, there's a hunger for good Super Bowl ads, and they haven't got tired of them. And yeah, so moving on, there was another ad that was interesting because I thought the concept was actually better than the ad execution. Like the idea that went into it was better than what came out on screen. And that was the DoorDash concept. The DoorDash idea was that they were going to have this opportunity for someone to win every different product, every brand that was featured in the Super Bowl ads. They were going to get this package where they could get all of that for free. One person would get that. That's unique. That's big. That's exciting. That's entertaining. They were going to have all that stuff, quote unquote, DoorDash to them. But the ad itself, it wasn't bad. I gave it like a 6 out of 10. But the ad itself didn't fully explain that, I felt like. I felt like it kind of got lost. It talked about like the long promo code, and that was obviously unique. And you could kind of gather the fact that like you were getting those things for free, but you didn't know if it was for real or not. And it was kind of visually chaotic. And anyways, it's just a unique experience because I feel like either an ad's good or it's bad. But this one, I'm like, ooh, super good idea to do that giveaway, to have that be a promotion. But I feel like I knew about it before. Being in the industry, I had read about that was coming up. I saw an ad age or somewhere that they were going to be doing that. So I was ready for it and knew the context. And I was thinking, if I didn't know that before, I'm not sure the ad would have hit the same way that the concept did when I first read it. So, but yeah, like I said, some subjectivity, and I also came into it not without that context. So maybe I'd feel differently and feel like it was fine if I had not known about it before. But interesting. I give 2 scores. It's like a 9 out of 10 for the concept, like 6 out of 10 for the ad for DoorDash. But yeah. All right. Let's talk about some that did not do so well that I was kind of disappointed in. And again, my opinion, take it as you will. But the homes.com, like they had multiple spots, 2 or 3, I think it was. Maybe I missed one. Multiple spots. And I thought it was a miss. Yeah, they had Daniel Levy and Heidi Gardner from SNL, some humorous and recognizable characters. But like there was a bunch of like, here's what my summary. It was too chaotic without any one winning moment. Like the length of the ads and how many different spots they had, there was just so much weird random stuff happening that like you didn't have time to fully digest a certain gag or a joke before something else was happening. And the connection to homes.com and the service, I didn't think was very clear. Like, sure, maybe the ad was kind of memorable as being that one wacky one with Daniel Levy. But other than that, I didn't really know, you didn't get much from that. And it was like, if you're going to have chaotic, random humor, I think you still have to have at least one winning moment, like the main quote people will take away or that main scene. And this one didn't. It was just silly thing after silly thing back to back that I felt like it was just a miss. And so I, for the amount of money they put into it, for the number of spots that they paid for multiple different ad slots, I thought that was kind of a miss. And connected to homes.com was also apartments.com, which I thought was also a miss, about these aliens coming to rent. And they had done some teasers and stuff in the beginning about like this is coming, and they did the Jeff Goldblum like a teaser before it aired. And then when it came, I was like, wait, that was it? That was so these aliens want to like come like rent an apartment? Like it didn't feel like a new enough of a concept to be worthy, I guess, of a Super Bowl ad and the amount of money that went into that. So I'm sure someone else out there loves them. And I'm sure, especially if you're a big fan of those two actors in the Homes.com ad, maybe you loved it more than me. I don't have any bad feelings toward them. I'm just not like super passionate fans of them, but it was all right. It was fine. But I feel like it was lacking some substance. Going backward, one more that did really well. It was very, very simple. And so it wasn't necessarily the most like, wow, super memorable, but I think it was memorable enough, was the Nerds ad. I really like the Nerds ad where there's this big gummy, goopy looking character. And you're like, what the heck is this an ad for? Like, that's not a specific mascot for anything or anything I recognize. Like, what is this big jelly blob character? And then it's like dancing, and it was a funny, humorous dance. And then it did like that scene from Flashdance, you know, pulls the what would be water when they're over the chair, but then all the little nerds come down and stick to it. And then you realize it's a little nerd cluster. And I feel like when you have a simple product like Nerds, a piece of candy, like as long as you're going to go into depth about like brand values or an emotional connection or all the features and benefits, it's just like, this is a candy and it tastes good. So for that reason, with the simpleness of what the brief needed to be, I think it nailed it. It was a really funny, humorous, oddball way of showing that there's this jelly, I don't know what the candy's made of, but like this soft, chewy, gummy candy that has nerds on it. You can buy them. And then it had the, I don't think it was necessary to have the influencer. What's her name? Is it Addison Rae? I think is her name. I'm not up on all my influencers, but showed her eating it at the end. That part was whatever, but it was funny to see this globby character dancing around doing the same for Flashdance and then having nerds cover it. Anyways, I thought it was funny. Not maybe as good, maybe not one of the top three, but like it was good for what a nerds ad could be. I feel like candy commercials are always pretty good. Candy and chips, like there's a certain level of simplicity in what the product is that you can get away with just like simple memorability. It doesn't have to communicate that much. So I feel like I want to say they're easy or take away credit from those who put those ads together, but they're like simpler, I guess is the word. It's easy. I guess I'll say it's easier. Maybe that's controversial. I think it's easier to get right when it's something like so simple like that. But I guess it's also easy to be forgettable when you just have something so simple. So I don't know, maybe give and take there, but all right. Another miss, I think, and this is not to say anything about the nature of what the brand does. It's the He Gets Us. I'm not commenting on the nature of the brand and if you're pro-Christianity or anything like that. From a purely advertising perspective, I thought they missed this year, and I thought they've done better in years past when they ran ads, because the whole theme of the He Gets Us, of this Christian message about understanding Jesus and trying to be more like Jesus and like what would Jesus do, that kind of feel. In the past, they've shown iterations of real life examples or relatable situations that then connect to the Jesus story. And even if you, obviously it's going to resonate more with Christians, but even if you weren't a fan of that or you weren't Christian, it was like you could still understand the connection being made, and that it was like, okay, like, yeah, there's whether I believe in this person named Jesus Christ or not, I understand like the value of being acting in a certain way and being accepting of people and being loving, blah, blah, blah. We can buy into that. This year, instead of showing like ways that are relatable, that connect with something that people already do care about, like, oh, I do feel that way, and that connects to Jesus in such and such way, It was the washing of the feet ad, which I felt like was, first of all, went on too long. It had a bunch of different versions of different people that were diverse and maybe you wouldn't expect to get along and things like that, washing each other's feet. And I get the message. Like, obviously, that's what Jesus did. Jesus washed feet. And that was basically the only message of the ad. But washing some stranger's feet is not a relatable situation. Like, I get that it shows like, okay, the humility and loving and service, whatever. But like, it just showed like, hey, this thing Jesus did, what if we did that thing? It was too, I don't know if I'm explaining myself well. It was like, it was showing contrived, unrealistic situation that you would never actually see happening, and then trying to connect it to Jesus. And I felt like it was a miss, because before you could be like, oh, I understand. And I guess I should refer to what I'm talking about. I don't remember the exact like shot for shot recap of what they were in the past, but I believe there was one I saw where like it was talking about like Jesus being born to like a young mother, or unwed mother or something like that, and being in poverty, or, and it basically connected to like, there are some people who've had a similar upbringing as Jesus did, and you can like see it in different light, or just situations in which you would, it talked about real world modern situations and struggles we're going through and connecting them to like Jesus. And so again, repeating myself now, but whether you're pro Christianity, Jesus or not, the other ads I feel like had a message you could get. And this one, I'm just like, okay, yeah, someone who's known for washing people's feet, let's show a bunch of people washing each other's feet. Didn't hit. So I would give that a low score, like 3 out of 10 or something like that. So another one, I don't know if I give it a high or low score because it's, I'm trying to assess my own feelings about this. I guess it was kind of a high score, but the Sarah V ad with Michael Cera. So that was another one that I had known about that it was coming before the game happened, through the different channels I follow and whatnot. I had seen the teaser and kind of knew, okay, they did a good job too of beyond the game. They did a bunch of like promo across social media where they would have these people capturing video of Michael Cera like handing out the product or writing his name on the bottle so that it said Michael Cera V. And like, so there was some more build up beyond the game itself. So I guess points for that. But I don't know. Again, this is totally just my own perspective. So I'm sure it's probably rated higher for other people because I think it was really, it was good. It was clever. It was funny. It was unexpected to have this guy associated with this product. But for some reason, and I couldn't identify why, when I first saw the concept and the teasers and stuff, I was more intrigued by those than the actual ad in the game. For some reason, maybe just within the context of all the other commercials, maybe I just ate something weird. I don't know. But I was like, it seemed like it was over too quick. It didn't like build it. It didn't, the silliness of Michael Cera being attached to that didn't hit the same way. So again, this is, I'm the host of this podcast, so you get to hear my opinion, but I'm sure there are other people who probably thought it was awesome and loved it. And I don't think it was bad. I'd give it like a, I don't know, 6 or 7 out of 10, but for some reason it just seemed like it didn't hit the same way as when I first read it. Maybe I had seen it so much, it just kind of, I got used to it and it was stale. Maybe if you hadn't seen it before, it'd be more funny. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud, and I will continue to think about that. Just kidding. No, I won't. But all right. Couple ones I thought kind of missed just in rapid fire order. Drumstick didn't do much for me. Had Eric Andre, but like just didn't contribute much to the ad. It was kind of random for I think it was their first one in the Super Bowl, at least for a while, from them. So they could have done better. Doritos Dinamita was kind of funny, but like Doritos has had so many good ads in years past. I thought this one didn't hit the same way. And I'm also curious about their reasoning for wanting to promote specifically that type of chip, the dynamite, whatever you want to call it. They didn't advertise their specific or their general, their normal Doritos versions, but they just had that special kind. So I guess they wanted to get worded out about that flavor, but I thought it was just kind of weird and not that funny. I'll also list a couple more honorable mentions, I guess, for some good ones that I didn't think were top of the list, but were pretty good. Well, hold on. Actually, I missed. Dunkin' Donuts was good. That one deserves some love. Like, it was a, yes, it was one of those ones that tried to rely on celebrity cameo, but I think they did it pretty well because it tapped into the story of celebrity cameo as opposed to just like having Eric Andre on a plane or so-and-so eating a product. Like, the story of the relationship between Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez and like their history between, like, you know, Matt Damon and making Good Will Hunting, and then the story of, like, you know, visiting her in the studio or she does her music and he does acting, like all of that. It was celebrities with a purpose, and that's something I think a lot of people miss sometimes. It's okay to have celebrities in these ads if you have a strategic reason for that celebrity to be there. Like, if you have the concept and then go get the celebrity. But if you write something that's void of any reason for a celebrity to be in there, and then you just say, well, let's see who we can book and get them to be in there, it doesn't really hit the same way. So anyways, Dunkin' was good. It was humorous, and it had celebrity in a good strategic way. I thought it was funny. But back to what I was saying, honorable mentions that were pretty good. Etsy is pretty good. Let's see what else. Reese's was okay. Reese's was funny just because it was like, It was kind of like, I feel like Reese's had like the WhatsApp effect from the Budweiser ads in years past, where it was just all the people freaking out about the Reese's flavor changing, but then they were happy, but then they were sad, and they were happy. Anyway, they're just kind of funny with the emotive reactions of people. Very simple again, just like the Nerds one, candy related or simple, but good stuff. The handle, the Toyota one, where they named the handle, the different names for that thing you grab onto on the top. That was kind of clever because it was focused on a very specific user experience or part of the product that people are familiar with, but doesn't get highlighted very much. And so highlighting indirectly the benefit of like that it can go off-road and take through rough terrain and that and it can go fast. Like the reasons you'd want to grab that handle, it indirectly referenced that by giving these kind of humorous names to the handle. So next time you grab that handle, you can like think about that ad. I don't know. So again, I wouldn't call it like the main winner or anything, but pretty good as well. So I'll leave it there. No one wants to hear too much about someone's subjective opinion, but let us know if you have different thoughts about any that I missed or ones that you definitely disagree with me on my take. I, for one, like the Super Bowl ads and look forward to them every year, even if they're not always the best as I've seen. But I think that advertising is getting, it's in a unique place right now where, I don't mean right now like it hasn't been this way for the past few years, but for the past couple of decades maybe, it's in a place where it's more, the customer is more in tune to what's happening than decades past. You think about like the, you know, the 50s, the 60s, the Mad Men days. There was, first of all, a lot less channels to have advertising on, for one. But then a lot of times, like people just like, people didn't have that much opinions about the nature of advertising. I should say, hold on. I guess I should say I wasn't alive back then. I'm not, I'm probably speaking a little bit uninformed because I wasn't then, but my understanding is like advertising was a little, it wasn't picked as part as much because people weren't so close to it. Like influencers and teasers online beforehand and brands having social media handles, you could respond in real time. Like if you ran an ad in the 1960s and people either loved it or hated it, you only kind of saw that through word of mouth or in the reflection on your sales, basically, if it worked or not. But now you run an ad and like within 10 minutes of it being on the Super Bowl, you can see on Twitter if people think you suck or if it was, or I guess X, not Twitter, if people think it's good or the reactions. And so in some ways it's nice because you can get better feedback to know what you're, how what you're putting out is resonating with people. At the same time, you got to take it with a grain of salt because if you could have heard the feedback to every ad in the 1960s, you would have maybe, you know, you can't have every opinion have the same weight. And so all it's just to say, once again, the theme of the day is things are subjective, but I think there's some best practice you can follow by being strategic, making sure the product and benefit or the product and its benefits are connected to the concept in some way beyond just being memorable. And if you have a celebrity in your ad, have a reason for the celebrity being in your ad and not just because you want to have some well-known face. Anyways, that's it. That's my soapbox. Hope you enjoyed the ads. Hope you enjoyed the game. Congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs, or as many people know, Taylor Swift's boyfriend team. As always, if you're enjoying the content, we really, really appreciate your reviews. Give us 5 stars and things like that. And, you know, reshare it. Invite someone to listen to it. We have got some good stuff going, but we're still getting off the ground and trying to grow our reach. And so we'd love to find others in the industry who are interested in talking about and celebrating good creative and branding work that happens and learning from it. I'll see you next time with one of our new guest episodes talking about a new piece of creative work. And we will see you then. Thanks.